Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast, where Braden Kane and I will take a deep dive look into the first round of the NFL Draft, which is happening this week, starting off on Thursday. So we'll take a deep look into each team's picks in the first round and kind of give our assessments on the team's needs and who we think should go where, before finishing off with a Mike Leach Award. Thank you all for listening, and as always, go Vandals. All right, hello everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. Zach Kellogg here with Braden Kane. And this week, the NFL Draft will be going down on Thursday. I'm pretty excited for this, Braden. A lot of implications for this. So this will be kind of our strict NFL Draft edition of this episode. We're just going to kind of go through mostly the first round, and then maybe go into the second, just kind of project who we think is going to go where and how these mock drafts are kind of panning out right now. Like, are you pretty excited for the NFL draft tomorrow?
Yeah, I am really excited. And kind of like what we talked about with the NBA is, it's like a new era of the NFL. We're seeing a lot of the players that we grew up watching be either at the end of their career or gone. So it really means a lot seeing what guys are getting drafted and who could be potential all-stars in the future. I am really excited. And there's definitely some teams that definitely need some positions really, really bad.
Yeah.
Just with the whole new era thing again is, you know, the Pats are kind of on the decline now. I mean, I hope.
Yeah, we all hope.
They just win a Super Bowl, but, you know, Gronk retired. Tom Brady maybe has a season or two left in him. They kind of need some star power now.
Yeah,
I don't think Belichick's, you know, offensive mind and just coaching mind will pull them through another Super Bowl. But yeah, it's exciting to see maybe the Browns do really well next year.
Yeah.
Someone projected them to go 16-0 with their schedule.
No way. I hate people that did. They're like, oh yeah, Browns 16-0. Like, oh no. I mean, that's going to fix all their problems. Like, it's like they, what were they, 7-9 last year? It's like, yeah, Odell's a huge pickup, but I mean, if they go 12-4, that'll be a huge turnaround,
just
a huge 10 surprise.
Wins. Just, yeah,
double digit wins. They were 0-16 2 years ago. People forget that this team was 0-16, one of the worst teams in the league. Went with the pickups of Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb in the draft, Myles Garrett at the number one spot after that season. It's like this team, like they've done what teams need to do and build through the draft, and they have done that along with picking up free agents.
They drafted the right defensive players.
Yeah.
Over the years, and they've stayed with them. So
Denzel Ward, that was another huge pickup last year. I think he's going to pan out great. I mean, they got rid of Jabril Peppers.
They haven't had a double-digit win since 2007.
Seems about right.
So we're going on 12 years of them having 10 wins or more, and they got 10 wins. So.
And when was the last time before that? I mean,
1994.
I was about to say, I'm like, they were really, I was like, they were pretty dang good in the 90s.
And guess who was the coach?
Bill Belichick. Because I remember I was watching actually a documentary. We're just kind of just going completely off. We got time, though. We can talk about
And Vinny Testaverde was the quarterback.
Yeah. That was when they were.
Vinny!
That was one of their last seasons in Cleveland, because that's before they were moved to Baltimore.
Because I guess this just says Cleveland for everyone, but they went back to Baltimore for a little bit.
So, yeah, so it was Cleveland, and then the team got moved to Baltimore to be the Ravens, because at that point, the Baltimore Colts went to Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
And so that's when, like, all that stuff happened. So Cleveland didn't have a team for a couple years there before they made it back. So, yeah, like, that was, like, the last time they had a pretty successful year, like, when they went to the playoffs and played against, when Elway had the drive, that was against the Cleveland Browns. And, like, in the second round of the playoffs. So it's like the Browns used to be this really good kind of solid franchise, and then we just only know them for awful, awful, awful drafting and games.
So
and
what's
records.
Funny is 2 years after that 94 season was when the whole string of quarterbacks happened. It's when Eric Couch came in as the QB, and then to Holcomb, to Garcia, to Dilfer, to Fry, to Anderson, to Quinn, to McCoy, to Whedon, to Campbell, to Hoyer, to McCown, to Kessler, to Kaiser, and then their savior, Baker Mayfield.
I honestly just want to see how good Baker is, because, like, because it's mostly the Colin Coward Baker Mayfield feud. Like, that's like one of my probably my favorite kind of feud between the media and sports as of right now, because there's just so much distaste on both sides.
Yeah, and they haven't
that's gonna be interesting.
They haven't won a playoff game since 89, I want to say, because I know in 94 they lost their division game, so that was their first
game. Yeah, so they had a first round bye, because I think that was the year they lost to Elway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he went on to this, I don't know if he went to the Super Bowl that year, but I mean, that was like when he started trying to get those Super Bowls later in his career.
2002 was the last time they even made the playoffs, going 9-7, and they lost in the wild card.
Yeah.
So yeah, 89, they're going on 20 years of a playoff drought.
Yeah, it's because the Bills made the playoffs. Detroit made the playoffs a couple years ago. I think, who else other than Cleveland? Do they have the longest playoff drought in the NFL right now? I think so.
I mean, probably. I can't think of anyone else who might have it.
Titans. I'm trying to think of just like the worst teams in football right now.
I know
now.
The Titans have made it.
Titans, Texans, Jags, Colts.
But see, some of those teams, though, the Texans came, like, in the mid-90s.
Exactly.
90s.
So that was, like, early 2000s when David Carr got drafted and when that team initially got. But, yeah, it's like, so a lot of these teams have been around a lot sooner and are pretty brand new. At least some of them are.
Yeah.
And then, but anyway, let's get back on track here going down the NFL mock draft. I mean, let's just get things started off here, and we'll just kind of go through pick by pick. Kind of look at the teams, maybe how we'll kind of assess what we think the needs of these teams are and how these picks could potentially fill those needs and maybe try and help turn these franchises around. So with the first overall pick, the Arizona Cardinals, originally like they were pretty heavily set on getting Nick Bosa. That was kind of like the main thing going into the draft. But then over the last couple months, the quarterback out of Oklahoma, Kyler Murray, the Heisman-winning quarterback, standing about 5'9", 5'10", he is projected to be the first overall pick this year. Braden, how do you feel about this pickup, or if they do actually draft him?
It makes a lot of sense with Kingsbury at the helm, which, like we've said, I don't know how he got a job in the NFL after a mediocre resume in college football. But it makes a lot of sense, and kind of like how we talk about with the NBA, how the league's changing. It's a shooter's league now. The NFL's a passing league now. It's a spread offense type of league, and I feel like the teams who still do – with the exception of the Patriots, the teams that still do just classical pro-style running just don't seem like they're as successful. Like, they just, you know, you see the, like, the teams like the Texans, like, you know, putting up big numbers, spreading the ball out, they're doing well. The Steelers have moved to that kind of offense. Like, a lot of the top teams you see don't really just ground and pound anymore. So I think it makes sense, and I think lately the draft has proven that QBs who are athletic and can run the ball as well, they're getting more and more successful in the league compared to when it was literally just like Michael Vick. It was like the only guy who would do that, really.
Yeah, and like even then, like the last like quarterback I think that didn't really work out that was that super athletic was RG3, but that was more of a coaching with Mike Shanahan not keeping him safe, just having him run the ball and take those heavy hits. But I think
he still had a couple successful seasons.
Exactly. Like coaches now are starting to be more knowledgeable and saying, like, all right, these guys can run Russell Wilson's, the Deshaun Watson's, the Kyler Murray's if he does end up getting drafted there. They can run it. They just have to keep themselves safe since they are smaller guys. This isn't college where you can take hits.
Yeah.
These are NFL guys standing about 6'4", weighing about 280 pounds. Like, they will lay the boom on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think coaches and quarterbacks are getting smarter. I mean, I like Josh Rosen. I think Josh Rosen would be a good quarterback just with the amount of turnover that this team had last year. Like, I remember one interview, it was like every week the Cardinals didn't know who would be on their depth chart because so many guys would be injured, dropped, waived, signed.
Yeah.
And there was just so much turnover, and then that coaching staff was just trying to figure themselves out. Like, all right, what do we have? And then before they could realize what was going on, the season was over and they were fired.
Yeah.
I feel like last season was just too chaotic. There was just no organization in terms of the Cardinals. And, I mean, Kyler Murray, there's a reason he won the Heisman. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Kyler Murray. I think he might be just a little bit too small. But people say the same thing about Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson and those type of guys. But, I mean, I'm open to give him a shot. I just want Josh Rosen to get playing time somewhere else because I think he has the talent to be a top 10 quarterback in this league.
I don't know if I'd say that about Rosen necessarily, but
I think eventually, like in his year 7, year 8, like eventually down the line, I think he could potentially be – he has the potential. He has the ceiling to be a top 10 quarterback.
But I think Murray definitely has the arm strength.
Oh, without a doubt. Dude can sling it, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's more or less what people are looking for as opposed to height, since so many quarterbacks have proven that height's not a huge deal anymore.
Yeah.
It's a plus.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
You know, if you have a – you know, like a 6'4 Sam Darnold, or however tall he is. Obviously, Tom Brady's really tall. I know this is kind of off the topic, but, man, I think Trevor Lawrence from Clemson is going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, we can't wait till Tua and Trevor Lawrence are going to be draft eligible next year.
Yeah.
That will be amazing because those I think that's one thing I was going to kind of get into later as we get into more of these teams that need quarterbacks. You could take the chances on Drew Locke, Dwayne Haskins, and those guys this season, or you can try and hold off until next year and get
6'6 Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, I feel like he will be like the next great NFL quarterback, or like the next huge prospect to come out of college, probably the first time since Cam Newton.
Watch like the Pats trade up just to get him just another.
I wouldn't be surprised because, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, we all saw him in the national championship game. He tore apart that top five Alabama. That was Alabama's defense is always top five in the country. And he tore them apart.
Yep.
I mean, and then Tua is just Tua Tagovailoa. He's just so good. Jalen Hurts is going to probably come into the league next year as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those three quarterbacks, that's going to be next year, in terms of those three, that's going to be a sweepstakes, I think, for Trevor Lawrence, then Tua, then Jalen Hurts. It'll be really interesting to see what will happen in the 2020 draft. That's still literally a year away.
So looking into the second pick, I'm on an NBC Sports mock draft. Obviously, Nick Bosa, you brought him up, how he's probably going to be the first.
I mean, that's why he sat out for the most of his junior season at Ohio State. It's like he wanted to be healthy for the draft, and he did that, and he killed it at the combine for the most part.
So they're saying he'll go to the 49ers, which they could definitely use some more defensive pieces.
Yeah, I mean, they have Jimmy Garoppolo. They have him on a huge contract. I mean, they're pretty set on wide receiver and running back. So
he was doing well, too. He was not looking like a...
Oh, in that TCU game, like his last game, like he was tearing it up.
No, in terms of Garoppolo, though, he was actually looking good before
he got
injured.
Right, you're right, yeah.
He wasn't, like, looking like is he worth the contract we just gave him? He was playing well. The 49ers were not, I can't remember what their record was before he got hurt, but it wasn't horrible.
I think they were, like, 3-1 or 2-2. They were something like that, because he got injured against the Vikings, I want to say, on the road, and that was, like, when he tore the ACL, and that's when he was done. But, I mean, Jimmy G, he's a player I don't think he's had sparks. We just haven't seen it over an extended period of time. Like, he had those three games with the Patriots. He had those six games with the Niners when he first got traded there, and then he had the four games of this season before he got hurt. I think we need to see an entire season of Jimmy G being healthy and playing at a high level for him to really warrant that huge contract he got.
Yeah.
And I think if you help the Niners on the defensive end, make sure that you can get the ball back to Jimmy G, allow him to go to work. Nick Bosa is almost the perfect player in order to do that. But, I mean, Quinnen Williams and Ed Oliver, those guys are monsters too.
Very true. Quinnen Williams is a beast. The thing too, though, is like pretty much San Francisco has Brady Gronk 2.0.
Yeah.
With Garoppolo and Kittle after Kittle had that year he had last year.
Yeah.
Wish I would have had my fantasy team. Didn't matter because I still won.
Yeah.
But the 49ers could be a team to watch out for. It'll be fun to watch them in preseason. And
the NFC West is going to be really interesting next year because if Kyler Murray goes to the Cardinals, then you have the Niners getting healthy, and they were projected to be a dark horse Super Bowl team last year, and they're just bringing everyone back healthier. Yep. The Rams are the Rams. They have Sean McVay, Goff, Todd Gurley, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, the refs, you know, the entire team right there. And then you have Seattle, who's always going to be competing within that division. I mean, because you have Russell Wilson.
Chris Carson was looking really good last year.
Chris Carson, he's a 1,000-yard rusher now. The offensive line's coming together. It's just the defensive end of the Seahawks, which we'll get into later in the draft, because they actually traded their best D end, Frank Clark, which I'm actually okay with, because he's now the third highest-paid defensive player in the league behind Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks flat out could not afford that, especially with the contract we just gave Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And I mean, but we got a first-round pick out of that, which I'm very surprised by, because I didn't think Frank Clark was worth the first-round pick.
Yeah.
We'll get to more of that a little bit later. The NFC West is going to be stacked next year. But, I mean, I agree. The Niners need defense. That's kind of their main need. And Nick Bosa, I mean,
You just don't pass them up.
This is a great draft for linemen, defensive or offensive linemen. This is a great solid draft for those meat and potatoes, guys in the trenches.
Yep.
I'm super excited to see how this draft turns out. Next up, we have the New York Jets with the third pick. I mean, they picked up Sam Darnold last year. And I'm on the Bleacher Report mock draft. That's kind of one I'm just kind of going off of right now. They're projecting Josh Allen from Kentucky.
I just saw his name, and I was like, oh, another Josh Allen.
And, yeah, Josh Allen, like, he did really well at Kentucky. They were ranked for majority of the year. Pretty solid defense, especially with that win against Florida. And, I mean, in terms of New York, I think they'd be better going off with a Quinnen Williams, an interior defensive lineman.
That's what NBC Sports has. They have Quinnen going to the Jets.
And so, I mean, that's just what I think would be better suited for that team. On this other one, on WalterFootball.com, they have the New York Jets taking Ed Oliver, who I think Ed Oliver, he has that speed to also almost like a J.J. Watt to where he can play anywhere on the defensive line. And it'll be really interesting to see what the Jets decide to do. Because, I mean, the Jets, they're pretty wide open. I mean, there is always a possibility for all these teams to trade down and move down and try and get more picks. But, I mean, Ed Oliver for Houston, and, I mean, just what he's been able to do and kind of his skill set, I feel like he's the next J.J. Watt, honestly. Mm-hmm. Same with Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, like, and J.J. Watt, and then it'll be Ed Oliver.
He's a big dude. NBC Sports has him all the way down at 12th.
I saw a couple of those, and then
they have Rashawn Gary ahead of him, who is just another beast from Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
He is a big dude as well.
This will be a really interesting draft, and I mean, like, those, like, first four, the Arizona, San Francisco, New York Jets, and Oakland Raiders, I mean, those are all kind of a lot of talk's been talking about that there could be a trade in terms of the Cardinals dropping back two spots and getting, like, a second or third round pick along with that third pick for the Raiders to move up or for the Jets to move up. It'll be really interesting to see what, if anything, happens on draft night.
Yeah. So for on NBC Sports, they have Josh Allen going to the Raiders at fourth, which makes sense. And
okay.
It's funny. It says, insert your John Gruden says the Raiders need pass rush help. Joke here. They do, though, man. I mean, that Oakland D was horrible last year.
You got rid of Khalil Mack, your best player. Like, just flat out your best player. And then you complain about not having a pass rush. It's like you did that to yourself.
And then Khalil Mack literally just takes the Bears all the way to the...
I mean, yeah, he took that Bears defense and put him to another level. And with Smith coming out of Georgia and being a rookie in that system, learning under Mack, I mean, that Bears defense is going to look scary for the next couple years.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean,
if only he could kick the ball, too, but he can't.
But, yeah, in terms of the Raiders, like you said, like in NBC, they have Josh Allen going to the Raiders. On this one, in terms of Walter Football, they have Quinnen Williams going there. And then on Bleacher Report, they also have Quinnen Williams. I mean, good, solid interior lineman.
Draft a defensive player, Raiders.
I mean, yeah, and it's like he can maybe not necessarily get to the quarterback, but he can, like, clog up those lanes on the inside in terms of the run game and maybe get some interior pressure to force him out of the quarterback out of the pocket.
And this is one of three picks they have in the first round?
Yes, they have this one, they have the Bears pick, and the Cowboys pick. So they have three first-round picks. I feel like they could bundle those last two and possibly jump up to, like, a 14 or 13 with the Dolphins or Falcons. Because, I mean, this is a Gruden, you have a 10-year, $100 million contract. You have to start building through the draft now and start building teams. Because if you go, I mean, next season, if they win six games, I mean, that'll come anything. But if you don't win at least eight games by year three or at least nine games, when you have AB on the offensive end as well.
Yeah, you don't want that guy to start getting mad at you.
Then Gruden is in trouble and is on the hot seat to get fired. I say by year three, he needs to be having a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
He has one more year to kind of like, all right, we're rebuilding, and then he needs to start seeing results after that when they move to Vegas.
Yeah.
Next up, number five pick, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are projected, I mean, a lot of them are saying Josh Allen. I'm seeing Ed Oliver.
I have a Devin White from Devin LSU, White. Another linebacker.
That would be a really good pick because, I mean, Tampa Bay's in a similar position to Oakland, to where they kind of need everything at this point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, Jameis Winston isn't panning out. Mike Evans' career is just kind of getting wasted away.
Jameis Winston is not the steal they thought he would be.
Yeah. And then, like, you have on the defensive end, Gerald McCoy, he's just getting old on in terms of an interior lineman that was pretty dominant. It's like this team just needs to kind of just – they're in a huge rebuilding period right now. And, I mean, if they do get Devin White or if they do get Ed Oliver, like, that'll just be a good guy that can start building the defensive around almost like a Myles Garrett in Cleveland. Then they can start getting DBs out there, start working on the secondary. I mean
– yeah.
We're still about 4 to 5 years out before Tampa Bay should start seeing that transition into a solid team if this pans out for
them. Didn't they start out like 4-0 last year or something?
Oh, yeah, with Fitzpatrick.
Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic, yeah. That was a fun time when Jonah and I were doing the show. Like, yeah, he – Fitzmagic, like, we were just like, all right, is this ever going to end? Like, 4-0, Ryan Fitzpatrick just killing it. And then week five, I pick him up on fantasy because I'm like, why not? I'll take a shot on him. And he scores like 6 points. And Jameis Winston plays the second half. But it's whatever.
So what do your mock drafts have the Giants doing?
So with the Bleacher Report, they have Dwayne Haskins.
Makes sense.
Going to the Giants. Let me see. I have Charles Davis's draft up. He has Rashawn Gary,
that's who,
the D end from Michigan.
That's what I got
going there.
NBC Sports.
And on this Walter Football one, they have Devin White. So this is where we start seeing the less set in stone picks where we're like, all right, this guy's going here. This guy's definitely going. It's like, this is where we start seeing the shifts and it's kind of just up for grabs on who's going to be taken where. And I mean, I think
Gary's
you have
not
to take
a bad
quarter.
Pickup, but
I think
get
you have to pick a
Manning.
Quarterback.
Yeah, get rid of Manning, man. He's done. I'm surprised he hasn't retired.
I mean, he's still just making money, so I mean, it's like...
He just was so bad last year with one of the best wide receivers in the entire league.
He just doesn't have the arm strength to sling it 30 times a game, and you need a quarterback that, if need be, if Saquon can't get going in the ground game, you need someone that can sling the ball around and help you win games through the air. Like, you need, like... Like, Russ, like, you can either ground and pound with Chris Carson in the backfield, or if Russ needs to drop back and pass it, he'll do that. Same with Deshaun Watson, same with Tom Brady, same with Aaron Rodgers. It's like, all these guys can sling
and
it.
I don't get that they were trying to pick up Russell Wilson in a trade, potentially, but now you're just not willing to get
And now you're just like, ah.
Yeah, we'll keep Eli Manning. I'm like, well, Dwayne Haskins is the type of quarterback. I mean, obviously, he hasn't played in the NFL, but, you know, he's a run or pass type of quarterback. You need to just... get with the new culture in the NFL. Pick up a guy who is athletic. Pick up a guy who can, third and six, everyone just great coverage out there. He can just do a quick little run up the middle, or he can scramble out to the outside and pick you up a first down.
Yeah, it's like Haskins isn't the most scramble type. Like, he only had like 230 rushing yards in his career at Ohio State. But, I mean, if need be, like you said, he can pick up those yards. He's a big man.
That's the other thing, too, is he'll lower that shoulder if he has to and just barrel forward for a first down.
Yeah, if it's third and three and you just need 3 yards and he has to scramble out, I will put my money down that he's not the fastest guy, but he will, like almost like a Ben Roethlisberger, he'll find a way to weasel his way in to get those 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he broke Drew Brees' record in the Big Ten for passing touchdowns in a season and passing yards in a season, I believe.
Which is huge.
And, I mean, Drew Brees, he's pretty good at this football thing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think Haskins, I mean, you have to do one of two things. Either A, do what some of the drafts are saying and draft a good defensive player. Or I say three things, actually. Two, pick up the offensive lineman from Washington State. What's his name?
A defensive line from, is it? Is it the Polynesian guy?
No. What's his name? I can't believe I'm spacing this right now.
Offensive lineman or defensive?
Offensive lineman.
Yeah, they call him like the Mountain or whatever.
Yeah, how am I spacing his name right now? Like,
I can't remember his name either.
I gotta find this because it's gonna bug me if I don't. Yeah, what is his freaking name? Now I can't find him on any of my mock drafts.
Let's see. I'm clicking through.
Andre Dillard. Okay. I kept on spacing his name, but I wouldn't be surprised if they pick up Andre Dillard there as well to help reinforce the offensive line for when they do get a good quarterback. But, I mean, there is a third option where they could just hold out on a quarterback this year and try and get Trevor Lawrence or Tua or Jalen Hurts next season.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that'll be the better payoff. But at that point, you're running real close to Saquon running out on his rookie deal. And I mean, in terms of the new NFL right now, you have to have young guys on these small contracts, your star players on these small rookie deals, and build around them with free agents. Because once Saquon gets that max extension, which he probably will get eventually, that's when your Super Bowl window starts to kind of close, because you won't have the money to pick up other guys, and you'll have to essentially have guys built through the draft.
Yeah. I just went through my whole first round with this mock draft. Not one running back they're assuming will be taken in the first round.
Not a great running back class.
Yeah. And they put Hollywood Brown ahead of DK Metcalf to get drafted.
Like, Hollywood Brown, like, he's a quick, speedy guy, but Metcalf just has that Calvin Johnson-like athleticism and just kind of that huge body.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you're either getting a solid wide receiver who's kind of smaller, or you're getting a just huge, pure athlete who isn't the most technically sound in terms of football and is coming off an injury, but, I mean, in terms of just the way he's built, not a ton of people are built like that.
Yeah. And then I didn't realize this. The Giants had the 17th pick as well. And they say they'll pick up the Duke quarterback.
I've
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. So, yeah, that's another pick I was going to get into later. Is like, Daniel Jones is – they're saying he could be the last pick of the first round to the Patriots. They're saying that Belichick has liked what he saw so far.
I think Green Bay has the last pick.
No, the Patriots do at 32.
Oh, 32. Yeah, I got that. I went to 30. Nah.
But, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where, if we get four quarter, because if we had five quarterbacks last year, if we get four quarterbacks in the first round this year, I mean, you're almost – that's 17 – or that's nine teams right there that could potentially have brand-new starting quarterbacks for the future if they all just pan out for the future. But next up, now we'll go on to pick number seven. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who just picked up Nick Foles in the offseason. They are projected to get Juwan Taylor, offensive –
same with mine.
Offensive lineman from Florida. I like Andre Dillard more. I think he's a better offensive lineman. I think he's the best offensive lineman in this draft class.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if Dillard went at seven. I mean, Taylor, I mean, good at Florida State. I mean, solid guy. He'll help out making those kind of running lanes for Leonard Fournette in the backfield and help protect Nick Foles, so Nick Foles doesn't have a Blake Bortles-like career and just doesn't have time to throw and is just a bad quarterback for Jacksonville.
I just, with that whole Foles pickup, I feel like it could be just another Case Keenum thing. I'm like, why are people giving QBs huge contracts after they impress for a couple games? And I get it's the playoffs, you know, he won a Super Bowl and all this stuff, but
yeah.
Still, man, still, like, how often has that worked for people?
Like, do you remember, like, in remember a few years ago, this is like 8 years or 7 years ago at this point, when Sam Bradford was traded from St. Louis to Philadelphia for Nick Foles, and Nick Foles didn't do anything in St. Louis.
Yep.
Then he went to Kansas City and didn't do anything, was out of football, and then he was brought back to Philly to be a backup because Doug Peterson liked him when he was in Kansas City. It's like the route that Nick Foles went here, he wasn't like a great quarterback and then went into a backup role. Like, he was a good, like, he had a great couple games in Philly. Didn't do anything in St. Louis, didn't do anything in Kansas City, went back to Philly, and then turned it on in the playoffs, won the Super Bowl, did it again this year. We had, like, a solid end of the year. But it's like,
still just like, come
I think,
on.
I think it's because Doug Peterson's there. I think if you don't have Doug Peterson, Nick Foles doesn't have the same success.
I'm like, none of these backup QBs who play well for a couple games, then they get big contracts. It's never panned out. The whole Matt Flynn thing in Seattle.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. That.
There's that. Keenum did not do anything.
In Denver.
Nothing in Denver this year. I mean, people could argue he didn't have that many weapons, but still.
I mean, he still didn't do a ton. I mean.
I don't think it's a good strategy for teams anymore. Draft a quarterback.
Yeah, I would much rather draft a quarterback and rather. I would say you can do it if, like, you feel like you have a Super Bowl-ready team and you just need someone to fill in the spot, like how Case Keenum was in Minnesota. I say that's when it can work. Outside of that,
mm-hmm.
It's like, why else would you try and get this guy who hasn't really proved himself in the league?
Yeah.
Unless he's, like, year two, year three, and you're like, all right, he's a backup, but we're going to give him a shot. But if they're, like, year eight, nine, or year six, seven, it's like, they've kind of already lived up to their potential. Like, this is where they're at. This is where they're going to be. It's like they can give you off, like they can come off the bench if need be, but they aren't a reliable starting quarterback.
Yep.
All right, next up we have the Detroit Lions. I mean, now that we're kind of at this point, we'll just kind of be like kind of just bumping around these teams since we're now like at the middle of the first round, and it'll be kind of be like, all right, these guys kind of just need just players. For Detroit, TJ Hawkinson.
Yep.
TJ Hawkinson out of Iowa. I really love this kid. I feel like he is going to be a great tight end, like almost like a Travis Kelce or maybe even a Gronk.
I mean, same with Noah Fant, the other tight end for Iowa. Tight end you.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I feel like he's a great blocker. He can catch the ball. I mean, going to the Lions, give Matthew Stafford another weapon. I mean, the Lions have always just been that team that they just don't have enough. Like, they have, like, one great player, but then it's just not enough. Like, they have Golden Tate the last few years, but Golden Tate's now in New York. They had Calvin Johnson, but they didn't have anyone outside of Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
I mean, they just need to get a guy who can – they can start building the offensive – like, he can help out the offensive line, but also receive. And then they can try and pick up more wide receivers, running backs, and start fleshing out that offense more.
Yep.
Next up, we have the Buffalo Bills, projected to get Devin White, linebacker from LSU. That's with this Bleacher Report draft. I mean, I think the Bills need to be more concerned about getting the offense around Josh Allen. Because I don't think Josh Allen can carry that team offensively. And LeSean McCoy is getting old. They signed Frank Gore, but it's like, I don't know. I think they just need to start adding more weapons in terms of the outside and more guys in the running game to help Josh Allen, because Josh Allen isn't the most talented quarterback. Yeah, he has a huge arm, but I mean,
he has some years to get adjusted.
He needs to develop. Like him and Lamar Jackson, like they are both like great athletes, but they need to develop into quarterbacks where they can actually consistently win in this league. And I think you need to flush him out with more offensive talent before you start focusing on the defense.
Yeah.
All right, next up, the Denver Broncos. This will be an interesting one because we all know how much Elway just loves getting quarterbacks in the first round, especially if they're above like 6'4 or 6'5.
Yeah.
But he's projected to pick up Drew Locke, QB out of Missouri. Drew Locke, not a huge fan of his, didn't like him too much at Missouri, but I feel like he could potentially be a solid pickup. I don't think Denver should draft a quarterback in the first round, though, this year.
Yeah, if you got Joe Flacco coming in, just trust on that for a couple years.
I would say a year, two max, you can have Flacco. Next year, draft a quarterback when you have other prospects, unless you're trying to trade up to pick up Dwayne Haskins.
When you have Trevor Lawrence, who obviously LA would get, to use a better term, really excited for.
Oh, I was going to say something like that, very similar to that, about how he is with other quarterbacks. But I mean, a couple drafts I've seen, they're saying that Dwayne Haskins could potentially fall as low as 11. So, I mean, if Dwayne Haskins is available at 10, I would not be surprised if Elway will pull the trigger on drafting Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
If he does fall that low, I would say if you don't get Dwayne Haskins, I would say just hold off on a quarterback. Because I didn't fall in love with the other quarterbacks in this first round.
Yeah.
All right, next up, the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, this is another team where they just kind of need everything. I mean, you got A.J. Green, you got the running back out of Oklahoma, I'm spacing his name right now.
I know it.
It's, like you know who I'm talking about. But
Joe Mixon,
exactly. And, I mean, Andy Dalton, like the most average quarterback in the league. Like, he'll do okay, but he won't take you anywhere. They're projected to get Jonah Williams, offensive tackle from Alabama. I mean,
My mock draft has Dwayne Haskins.
It's like on some of them, Dwayne Haskins falls down as low as 11.
Is Andy Dalton doing that bad? Or?
He's just never – like he was pretty good his first couple years, but, I mean, he hasn't won a playoff game. Granted, they had Marvin Lewis there as a head coach forever.
Neither has Marvin Lewis in 16 years, so.
But, I mean, the thing with Cincinnati is that they have a pretty solid offense, and, like, they've had a pretty solid defense. They just never figured out. Maybe it was the coach, and maybe bringing in this new head coach will help them kind of turn a new page on the franchise. I just don't think Andy Dalton's the guy. I think Andy Dalton should now start transitioning into the role of being a backup. I just don't think he's done anything in the time he's had to really prove that he is a starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you should get offensive linemen and try and protect either Dalton or the next quarterback that you eventually get, I think that'd be a smart move. But as of right now, if you have a quarterback that's available at that time, but the quarterback from Duke, I mean, I think that should be where your focus should be is trying to draft the next quarterback. Because they got A.J. McCarron, but he wasn't really a hugely sought-after quarterback.
Never drafted an Alabama quarterback.
He was like a third-round pick. So
they're system quarterbacks.
In the purest sense of the word. All right, next up we have the Green Bay Packers. I mean, they're projected to get Brian Burns, D-end out of Florida State, in this Bleacher Report draft or mock draft. I mean, I think you need to flesh out the defense more. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. No matter who he has around him, he'll put up numbers. I think you just need to start fleshing out that defense now that Clay Matthews is gone. You're just kind of...
You see, my mock draft has Devin Bush out of Michigan, the inside linebacker, and Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. So that definitely makes sense, and it falls in line with what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, defense, that's kind of the main thing. Rodgers, when he had a top 10 defense in the league, that was in 2010 when they won the Super Bowl against the Steelers.
I think so, yeah.
And it's like when they had Charles Woodson, they had Clay Matthews, they had A.J. Hawk, they had this really solid defense, that's when they won the Super Bowl. And the next year, they went 15-1. Mm-hmm. It's like this team, when they have a solid defense, they do really – Aaron Rodgers doesn't have all that pressure on him to put up 35 points a game.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think you need to start building up that defense. Kind of what we've been saying for the last few years in terms of just what the Packers need to do. But I think at this point, you gave Aaron Rodgers that huge contract. You need to start building up that defense before you have to start paying them.
Yep.
Next up, the Miami Dolphins. Montez Sweat, edge out of Mississippi State. That's kind of their projected.
That's what I got, too.
I mean, Dolphins are kind of the same situation as the Bengals, as the Bills, as as the Lions. It's like, and the Bucks. It's like they need so much in so many different spots. It's just kind of like,
yeah.
All right, let's just see if this guy lands and go from here. I mean,
yeah. Fitzpatrick at the quarterback now.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
I swear, he just wants to be in, you know, the Southeast. He just wants to be somewhere warm.
From
Tampa Bay to Miami. He just stayed in Florida.
I mean, I would too. It's like I can either A, go to Buffalo or somewhere like that, or go somewhere where it's cold, or I can just stay in Florida and work here for a couple of years, make about $20 million, and it's like,
yeah,
I'm out. I'd do that too. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons. This one they have Rashawn Gary going there, D lineman from Michigan. With the 14th pick.
I also have a D lineman on NBC Sports, Christian Wilkins from Clemson. It talks about how the Falcons gave up just under 5 yards a carry on the ground, the defense. That's bad, man.
Yeah.
That's a first down. They could run the ball first, second, third. It's a first down.
Exactly.
Every time.
Defense will be a huge thing because they had that really athletic defense when we went to the Super Bowl a couple years back. But last year they really underperformed. Really underperformed the last couple – or like – last season. And
how
then
long
the
was it? I think Julio Jones had the longest streak of not having a touchdown.
Julio Jones is the most peculiar case I've ever seen in my life, where he is like the tallest, most athletic wide receiver in the league, but he can't catch a touchdown to save his life. He had like three touchdowns last year, and there's like one in the red zone, and that was against the Patriots. And it was like, are you freaking kidding
Just
me,
Just a frustration for fantasy owners, because he would still pick up all the yards.
But he wouldn't get those 6 points at the
so
end.
So he was getting you like 8 to 11 points
I had
every
Julio
time.
On my fantasy team, so I know that pain. It's just – and so, I mean, you have Julio. You have Calvin Ridley, Ryan. It's like, and well, I mean, Tevin Coleman's now in San Francisco, so you kind of lose that in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, offense is still pretty set. You still have Devontae Freeman back there,
mm-hmm.
and Matt Ryan is still 2 years removed from an MVP.
Yep.
I think you can just keep building up that defense. It's kind of the same with a lot of these teams. This is the defensive draft. Build up your defense and try and help build for the future.
Yep.
Next up, we have the Washington Redskins. They are projected to get DK Metcalf out
of
Ole Miss.
That is high.
15th pick.
I have NBC Sports has Brian Burns from Florida State, and then they have Metcalf going 30th in this mock draft. So
whoa,
to the Packers.
Wow. Okay, I don't see him going that. I'm not a huge fan of Metcalf.
Though. Imagine. Aaron Rodgers with DK Metcalf.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he will fall that low. I don't think anyone will let. I think by that point, you like the Ravens or the Texans or the Eagles or the Colts. Someone will pick him up around there.
The Ravens would be a good pickup for them. That'd be a great pickup.
I don't really see him going to Washington because, I mean, you can get him as your wide receiver, but you don't have a quarterback right now. And
yeah,
so
I thought, did they not pick up someone or trade for someone?
They.
Isn't it Bradford?
No. They might have gotten someone.
Or did they get Keenum?
I think they traded Keenum. Yeah, they have Case Keenum now.
Yeah, they have Keenum.
And so it's like, but I mean, we didn't like him in Denver. I didn't like him that much in Minnesota. So, I mean,
he just had, you know, Thielen and Diggs in Minnesota. So,
I mean, and it's like he did really well up there. But I mean, Washington, they have Paul Richardson. They would have DK Metcalf if they didn't end up drafting him, which I mean, that'd be okay. But I mean, Washington's in the same boat. They just need so much, and you're not really sure where they need to go exactly. I would say, I would say go to the defensive end, try and pick up more guys defensively with that team, since you have Josh Norman in the secondary. It's like you want to just keep on building that up, and they got Landon Collins now. It's like that defense is starting to come together. So I mean, maybe just add the final touch onto that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe try to trade for a better quarterback when you have more assets. Or maybe try and draft one this year, if not next year, try and draft one this year.
Yep.
If you have Drew Locke available, or if Dwayne Haskins somehow falls to you at 15, I think now is the time you might pick up a quarterback rather than focusing on DK Metcalf, who you could just pick up another wide receiver next year.
Yep.
Next up, Carolina Panthers. Clelin Ferrell, edge out of Clemson. Excuse me. But, I mean, he... Carolina, they're pretty set offensively. Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's becoming an all-star for sure.
Oh, he has exceeded my expectations for him by a mile. And so, yeah, I agree with this. Pick up defense. I mean, that's what you should do.
On my mock draft, they have Jonah Williams, offensive tackle, which I think Cam Newton had no time last year.
I feel like he got caught with the Russell Wilson bug, where he's just running for his life every play not handing it off or dumping it down. I mean, I would also say offensive lineman, or working on that defensive line. I mean, because you have Luke Kuechly and a pretty solid in terms of a secondary, and not great, but in terms of kind of linebackers into the secondary, you have some good. It's like just start building up that defensive line. That's how, unfortunately, I just feel about that for a lot of these teams. It's like just work on that defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we got about 10 minutes here left. So, I mean, we can just kind of start running this thing down. I mean, let's take a look at coming to some of the bigger teams. I mean, in terms of, I want to jump into Seattle, since I'm a Seahawks guy, I kind of want to talk about what their needs are and just kind of say that. So now they have two first round picks this season. With that trade of Frank Clark to Kansas City, very surprised we got a first round pick out of that. I mean, it's the 21st and the 29th pick. But, I mean, in terms of Seattle, we need to continue to build the secondary, try and rebuild the Legion. I think our defense was pretty solid last year with what we had.
Yeah.
I think edge rushers is the number one thing, because right now we have one edge rusher who had more than three sacks last year, who had three sacks or more last year. And I think that in terms of maybe pick up a wide receiver to help out Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett. I mean, it's just secondary, defensive linemen, and wide receivers / tight ends.
In this mock draft, I love this name. Has you guys picking up with the 21st pick, Greedy Williams.
Greedy Williams out of LSU.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I like our secondary. We got Shaquem Griffin in there. Guy from Oklahoma State. God, I am blanking on names today so bad.
Yeah, from this mock draft, they have Greedy Williams. Then it says you guys are picking up an edge rusher and Jeffrey Simmons, or is it D tackle?
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, in terms of Seattle, that's what we need. We need defense. We need offensive linemen. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. The one thing I'm concerned about is that we got to make sure we give Russell Wilson help.
Yeah,
that is the number one thing.
They still got free agency during the summer.
That's the thing. Seattle doesn't really get a ton of free agents. That's kind of one thing I'm kind of not nervous about necessarily, but it's like I'm not super high on free agents coming to Seattle. Trey Flowers is the guy I was trying to name out of Oklahoma State we got last year. I mean, I think he's a great cornerback. Will Disley, great tight end. He had a great first game against the Broncos before he got hurt. I mean, he had like 150, almost 200 yards receiving.
Yeah.
And a couple of touchdowns. So, in terms of Seattle, I'm pretty excited to see how we're going to get in this draft. Don't be surprised if Seattle trades away both their first-round picks. Do not be surprised if they do that, because Seattle has a huge tendency to trade away their first-round picks to build up more in the draft. We came into the draft with 4 picks. I don't be surprised if we end up having 8, because we draft back to the 3rd, 5th, and 6th rounds.
Yeah.
And that'd
just try to find some of those gems in the draft. And
I mean, that's how we got Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman. I mean,
yep.
Drafting high, like we aren't good at drafting high, but we're good at like falling back. All right, this guy is kind of undervalued. All right, this guy's still on the board, and we had him as a pretty solid guy. Who knows? Maybe Caden Ellis will go there. I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe we'll draft him in the 7th round. I mean, pair him up on the other side of KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner. I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Another team I kind of want to touch on here is, I mean, the Oakland Raiders, 3 picks in the 1st round. Do you think they'll pick with all 3, or do you think they're going to trade back?
I'm not sure how Gruden wants to, what route he wants to go, if he wants to rebuild or kind of like what you said, maybe get 2 picks to help rebuild and then trade away for an immediate experienced player.
Yeah.
Which would make sense. So I could see him going either way, but you never know with Gruden, man.
Yeah.
He'll just do stuff out of left field, like trading away the best player in the NFL, the best defensive player in the NFL.
All right, and then so the quarterback out of Duke,
Daniel Jones,
do you think he's going to be a first-round pick this season or in this draft?
I didn't even know that he was going to be a first-round pick. I guess I just got so caught up with Murray, Haskins, and Locke. But,
yeah.
I mean, he's pretty tall, isn't he? He has some size.
I mean, yeah, he's a pretty good guy. I mean, he played at Duke. That's the one thing. It's kind of like the Mitchell Trubisky when he played at North Carolina. It's like quarterback plays at a not great ACC school in terms of football. Didn't have a ton of success, but he's touted to be a pretty solid quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he's going to fall down to the mid-second round, maybe late second round. Because, I mean, I'm not super high on him. I'm not really confident. I think he's going to be kind of a bat. Like, he's definitely not going to come in and be the starter. So, I mean, whoever picks him up is going to bring him in, be the backup, and try and groom him or try and get him ready for the future if they do see him taking on that role. Kind of like a Mason Rudolph last year.
Yeah. I've been just straight clicking through all of the first. They had 86 picks on this mock draft. Totally forgot about Will Grier. They have him way back there.
Wow, Will Grier, another quarterback who I think he has a better chance of going in the 1st round, honestly.
Yeah, they have him going, this would be 3rd round to the Redskins.
That would be a gem, like, right? If that does happen, the Redskins pick up Grier in the 3rd round, I think that's a gem. Yeah. I think Will Grier is going to be a very good quarterback in this league. I think he has
just the whole NFL thing about how all he did was take snaps right out of the shotgun, and it's like,
I mean, that's
a lot of teams are doing that now.
It's like,
so
that's what the NFL is now. It's like pistol and shotgun. Not a ton of people go under center unless you're running the ball. Yeah. Like,
how often do the Chiefs go under center?
Look at
hardly ever.
Look at the Rams. Look at,
yeah.
It's like,
if the Chiefs went under center, it was like a reverse of Tyreek Hill.
Exactly.
Or something.
And
what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill?
That's one thing we definitely need to get into.
He has some assault charge or something.
He has that. I believe it's assault or domestic abuse, and it's
aggravated assault or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And it's not. Players. I don't think it's as bad as what Kareem Hunt did, but you still can't take this stuff lightly.
Is Kareem Hunt gonna be playing with the Browns?
He's suspended for the first 8 games.
Okay,
but he will be playing for the Browns. I mean,
it's just this is what really pisses me off by the NFL. You beat your girlfriend / wife, whichever it was, suspended 8 games. Oh, you fail a drug test for weed, you're exiled. Exiled from the league. Josh Gordon, like,
yeah.
Oh, but if you're just beating your wife, you can't play half the season.
Yeah,
that's okay.
The NFL, that's kind of one of the biggest gripes people have had with it, is in terms of how they handle different disciplinary issues with different actions. I say that's another subject we can do an entire episode on in terms of how we think.
I want to point out that the NHL does not test for THC.
That is interesting.
I think
I did not know that.
But then again, the highest paid player in the NHL is like $15 million. So
I know. It's like, yeah, they don't get paid anything.
All the Canadians are like, just let us smoke.
I mean, it's legal up there, so why not?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
And, all right, so I mean, with the first, I'm just really excited for this draft.
Yeah,
this
is be fun.
Even more excited than I was last year with like all the quarterbacks coming out. I feel like because I feel like you have a smaller chance of busting in terms of players such as defensive linemen and linebackers. I feel like there's a smaller chance of them busting rather than like quarterbacks and wide receivers and those kind of things. So, I mean, I'm just really excited for this draft, and I'm kind of excited to see where this thing goes.
Yep.
And so we'll just kind of jump into the Michael Leach Awards. I just have one right off the top of my head. That's why I decided we can do this since we're going a little bit long this time. Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about that Damian Lillard buzzer beater last night.
I was going to use that too.
And it's like I had a feeling we were both going to do that, so I was like, let's just get this thing.
We can Damian share Lillard. It. Yeah, we can share it.
Damian Lillard, tied at 115 apiece in Portland, takes a step back from the Moto Center logo.
Sidestep, kind of, you know.
But I mean, like, yeah.
Step back, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, against probably the defensive player of the year, Paul George, and hits a three as time expires.
He was closer to the half-court line than he was the three-point line.
Oh, for sure. And then the best part was that he waved goodbye to Westbrook as he was walking off the floor. This is, I think, one of the best rivalries in basketball now after this series. Like, everyone, like, if you were in the NBA, like, you knew that they didn't like each other. But this just kind of adds an exclamation point. Now you're going to be circling the date next season.
Reggie Miller and John Starks almost.
Oh, yeah. It's just that kind of matchup. It's just like these guys effing hate each other. And so next season we're going to be circling these games all season long.
Well, what? I think it would have been a way different story if the Thunder would have had like Kyle Korver. Just someone who can hit a freaking three when Russell and George are driving into the paint because they're so good at it. But just the whole – and the fact that Paul George said it was a bad shot. I don't know if his words got taken out of, like, context necessarily. Maybe he was saying not a great shot selection, you know, but it went in.
I think that's what he was going for because I said the exact same thing last night because, like, Meredith, our sports editor here, she's a huge Portland fan. And then when they made that shot, I was like, that was an awful shot selection if he would have missed it. But it doesn't matter because he made it.
Yeah, because he made it.
And Dame Lillard, like, he hits those super long bombs. He's been doing that all season long. The first shot of this series was from the Moto Center logo.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it doesn't matter if it wasn't, the thing is, it wasn't a Hail Mary. It wasn't a half-court heave. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to step back right here, and I'm going to splash this thing home. and he did it. It's like, he did it. It's like, there's nothing you can really do about it. It's just like, all right, Dame, you hit a buzzer beater.
It's Dame time.
And now they're...
And now they're going to get worked by the Warriors in the second round.
Well, no, they're playing either Denver or San Antonio because Houston will be playing the Warriors.
I thought they were the – oh, it was 3-6. They weren't 4-5. My bad.
Yeah, and so I think
– they could probably beat Denver. San Antonio would be scary.
I think they have a better chance of beating San Antonio because I feel like they match up better. But Denver, I just feel like the only reason San Antonio is in this series against Denver is because Denver is inexperienced.
Yep.
And Greg Popovich is the greatest coach. In my opinion, the greatest coach of all time.
Very true.
But then if you bring in Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and it's kind of this hot team coming in against a San Antonio team, I feel like even with the coaching that Pop could have, I feel like the Blazers could still win in six because of how good Lillard, McCollum, Aminu, Harkless are all playing right now.
I could agree with that.
But NBA playoffs, that's entirely another thing we can probably get into next week. I believe either next week or the week after will be our last show of the season or last show of the year.
It will be. I'm counting down.
I think... We have two episodes left next week, and then the week after, and then then you're graduating, and then I gotta find someone else to fill in your shoes next year.
Noah Porter.
We'll talk more about that later. I got a couple guys on the list right now. I gotta see who's gonna be the best fit. Might just be Chris Dermer since he's gonna be our sports editor next year.
For sure.
He knows about sports. All right, we're just kind of rambling at this point, but thank you all for joining us this week on the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. Zach Kellogg joined, as always, by Braden Kane. You can check out all our works at UI Argonaut and at thevandalnation.com. Also find us on social media at Inside the Vandals and on YouTube. That's Facebook and Twitter as well. Thank you all for listening. And as always, go Vandals.